welcome to Bangor Community Church Podcast. We pray that you will be blessed today as you hear the Word of God.
Last week I spoke on expectation, and we talked about four aspects of expectation, or four expressions of it. We started with the psalmist cry out, "My soul," he soliloquized, he talked to himself. And he said, "Soul," and we need to do that, family. Soul is who you really are spiritually. "Soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him." Nowhere else. Don't look to man, don't look to anywhere, look to Him. And how and who He uses to achieve the thing that I need, it's up to Him. But I'm looking to Him. And when I get it, I'm thanking Him for it. Praise God. And out of that, we started talking about the fact that faith expects. Faith expects. But there were four types of expectation. The first one we spoke about was the negative. People that just have a negative attitude to life and everything. You know, they moan, they complain, they talk everything down, you know. The cup's always half full, never full. Negative people, negative expectation in Christians. Oh, I don't really expect that, do you? Well, God says all things are possible to those that believe. That's strange, that is. That contradicts anyone that says there's something like that. And I believe the Bible, so therefore I'm a believer. And so negative expectation. Then the other one we spoke about was neutral expectation. It's like the person that gets in the car, switches the engine on, sits there, keeps revving up with the throttle, but the car doesn't move because he's expecting it to move, but it won't move because he's still got it in neutral. He's done nothing about it moving. You've got to do something about things changing in your life. You've got to do something about allowing faith to do what it said it would. And that is, expect it to do it. Otherwise, your God's a liar. And only faith can do that. Neutral expectation. Then the third one we talked about was unreasonable expectation. Like, for instance, the guy that used to use a similar illustration, the guy that gets in the car, switches the engine on, revs away and expects the car to move. He tries every sort of revving he can get, but it still doesn't move. That's unreasonable expectation. In other words, you've got to change the way you do things. You've got to do things the way God says. You've got to change. And then the lovely last one that we used as an illustration was positive expectation, like the little widow woman who had the issue of blood, and she heard that Jesus was around, and she made her way to there, and she had a hard job because the crowd was around him was great, but she pushed through the crowd saying to herself, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be whole. She managed to get through the crowd. I don't know how many people she had to get a hand wiggled in through them to touch the hem of his garment, but she did. She had an expectation, and it was fulfilled, because it's what Christ came to do, to heal, to forgive. Praise God. So we need to move on from there. Let me say this to you. I was just praying the other day, walking around, and suddenly, and I wasn't praying in the area in which I'm talking to you about, suddenly the Spirit of the Lord dropped this in my spirit. And I said it, and I carried on walking around and just saying it, and it just got bigger and bigger. And it's simply this: God doesn't tell us to do things that we can do. He tells us to do things that He can do. Can I say it again? I went, whoa, when I heard that. God doesn't tell us to do things that we can do. He tells us to do things that He can do. The difference? You believe Him. Faith. You can't do half of those things, but if He says you can, you can. Hallelujah. And though it were tarry, wait for it shall surely come to pass. Praise the Lord. Amen. I think I'd like to carry on for a short while along that line. Let's turn to Exodus, verse 4, chapter 3. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, "Moses, Moses," and he said, "Here I am." What I want you to grasp there is that something caused God specifically to speak to Moses. He was way out there in the wilderness. He was on the backside of the desert, but God was able to get hold of him. And there's a reason God got hold of him, was able to speak to him. And this is a parallel that runs right through the scripture. It's a biblical truth. I remind you of the story. He was outside in the mountains looking after his father-in-law's sheep. As he was there just watching the sheep, over in the distance he saw in the hill a bush that burned with fire but was not consumed. Now he probably wouldn't have gone any further than that if the bush had been burnt away. Of course, remember, he was there days. So if the bush had burnt away, he'd expect that to happen. But I don't know whether it was just one day that he saw it burning, 2 days or 3 days before. He doesn't tell us that. But he saw a bush that burned but was not consumed. In other words, it didn't burn away. The bush continued just to burn. There was always something to burn. In other words, it continued to burn. And he realized, that's strange. That's not normal. That's not right. And so he said this to himself. He said, "I must go and see what makes this bush burn and yet not be consumed." And I want to tell you, family, you may have heard me talk this way before. It's one of the great pillars in which God has used in my life. If you want God, if you're hungry for God, you will press towards whatever it is. You have to go and find out. There's a principle, and that principle is borne out by Scripture. He says, "Draw nigh to me, and I'll draw nigh to you." It doesn't just happen. You wonder why he's not drawing nigh to you? How often and how regularly do you draw nigh to him? How much is your exchange and mine with him? How much are you talking with him? How much is he able to talk to you? You're too busy on your job? You mean you can't say, "Bless the Lord, praise God, thank you, Father," while you're on the job? He says, "Draw nigh to me, and I'll draw nigh to you." This was the beginning. It's a parallel. It's a truth that runs right through Scripture. And he left the place where he was, and he went. And when he got there, God drew nigh to him. Hallelujah. Listen to what he says. "Do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet." Verse 4. "So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, 'Moses, Moses,' and he said, 'Here I am.' Then he said, 'Do not draw near this place, take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover,' he said, 'I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob.' And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, 'I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows.'" Here, God was able to get hold of this man, Moses, and communicate to him something he wanted to do with him. Before this happened, him and his relationship with God was almost non-existent. But turn with me to chapter 4. "And now the children of Israel are being led by Moses to leave the bondage of the Egyptians, and God has now sent Moses to be the instrument that he's going to use. You know, God's got a plan for every one of our lives here. He's got a plan for your life. for you to be used as a deliverer of people. There is nothing more important on this planet than people. Nothing more important. People. We are the only ones made in the image of God. Every one of us have a destiny. And you and I need to be able to hear the word of the Lord saying, go. God draws nigh to those that draw nigh to him. Anyone that hasn't drawn nigh to him tells him, that's not somebody that wants to do my business. How could I trust that person with my business? My business is the greatest business on the planet. The devil has come in and destroyed what I created. The purpose of God in your life and mine as Christians, and even the unsaved. Do you know God had a plan for my life before I was saved? Yeah, he had a plan for your life before you were saved. Don't just roll into salvation and be able to say, praise God, I'm born again, and just live your life just the same as you would have before, but now you're going to heaven. It's the now that is planned for you. Hallelujah. I mustn't go off. Where are we going? I've taken to where? Chapter? Oh, yes. He sends Moses to deliver the children of Israel from Egypt, and he has to go to see Pharaoh. And he's going to see Pharaoh, and he's complaining, oh God, he won't listen to me. And in verse 2 of chapter 4, we read this, verse 1. Then Moses answered and said, but suppose they will not believe me or listen to me. To my voice. Suppose they say the Lord has not appeared to you. So the Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? He said, a rod. And he said, God said to him, cast it on the ground. So he cast it on the ground and it became a serpent, and Moses fled from it. It was a rod, just a piece of wood. But when he cast it on the ground, it became a serpent. Hallelujah. In other words, with God, he could do anything with it that he chose. Turn with me, verse 2. Turn with me to chapter 14, still in Exodus. And let us go to a similar passage. Chapter 14. And he's now leading the children out of Egypt, and the Egyptians are behind him with all the chariots, as you know. And in verse 14 it says, verse 13, remember the situation, the chariots behind them and the Red Sea before him. Verse 13, and Moses said to the people, do not be afraid, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. That's a bit of a prophetic word, or faith at work with expectation. Verse 14, the Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And verse 15, and the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. God's spoken that to us. I'll talk to more about that tonight, but through the years that God has spoken to us about that way. But lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. The whole purpose of me reading these scriptures is to communicate to you that God, through one thing with Moses, and it was the rod in his hand, enabled him to do whatever needed to be done. The authority, the power of God was in the rod. He would throw it down, and that rod would become a serpent. He could stretch it over the waters of the Red Sea, and it became a divider of the waters. In other words, it was a very clear representation of God Almighty himself. I'm saying, why am I saying that? I'm saying that for this reason. This is our rod. Moses could do anything with the rod. It gave him authority and power, no matter who he stood before, no matter what the enemy was like, no matter what the problem was like. Here, we've got to get through this Red Sea. Otherwise, we've had it. But the rod, just tap it with the rod, or go. This is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And the Bible says this is the word of God. Hallelujah. This word that cannot fail. The Bible says this is a rod. This is scripture. Turn with me. Turn with me in Jeremiah 23, 28. The prophet who has a dream, let him tell a dream. And he who has my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, says the Lord? Is not my word like a fire, says the Lord, and a hammer that breaks the rocks into pieces? See what the rod could do? This rod in your hand, with expectation, will do what it says. It will do what it says. You've got to have expectation. An expectation can't exist without faith. Faith in the fact that God has spoken. God's word tells us. So our rod that enabled Moses to be used by God the way he was in setting the nation of Israel free and leading them in impossible circumstances is for us the same power to accomplish the deliverance of a nation, our nation here, our town here, if we will dare to believe it enough to go and do it. It will change your life and mine. This life has changed, this word has changed my life for years. It's shaped my life and is still shaping my life, this word. It is a lamp to our feet. It is a light to our path. It does show us how to walk. Praise God. And for us, we need to be able to embrace the powerful word of God. It's like, you remember Hebrews 4, that speaks about the word of God. Let's go there. Hebrews chapter 4. And verse 12, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. What is? Who does that? Who has that ability? It's the word. It's the word. Familiarize with the word. Read the word. Allow this word to become flesh in you. That this word in you can accomplish what the Bible says it would. In the Greek, that you've heard me say before, that word, it's a sharper than a two-edged sword. That means, you know, a sword that's the blade is sharpened on both sides. The Greek there is the word, it says this, it's a double-tongued. The Bible says the word of God is sharper or than a two-edged sword. The word of God is more, is sharper than a double-tongued. Sorry. Now, double-tongued, for me, that one thing leapt immediately into my spirit. The word of God. Listen to me again if you have not heard me say it before. But the word of God, the word of God is the word of God. It came from Him. When I take up what He has said and I speak the same thing that He has said, we've got a double-tongued sword here now. Hallelujah. And the Bible says it's sharp. Praise God. It's a sharp. So when I repeat this, when I quote this word, given word in the given circumstance, I've got a sharp two-edged sword, and the Bible says it's able to divide between soul and spirit, marrow and discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart of a man. In other words, this word that God has spoken in your mouth and mine, applied to the relative circumstance, will always win, will always accomplish what it's been sent to accomplish. The sharp two-edged sword. 2 Corinthians 4, 13, is it that says, we having the same spirit of faith. Do we have the same spirit of faith? Not sure. I mean, is there one more than one spirit of faith? Well, I am not aware of it. One that I want to follow. There's just one. It's the faith in my God. It says, we therefore having the same spirit of faith, believe. Therefore, we speak. What do you speak? What you believe. Hear what I've said there? You speak what you believe. Now, you're going to either speak this word or you're going to speak this. Hence, four different categories of expectation. I want the last one. I want the positive one. I want to be able to say, yes, I can. Have you got a yes, I can attitude? I know I preached and taught upon us having a yes, I can. A yes, I can attitude is an attitude of expectation. Yes, I can. I don't listen to the people that speak to me from up here. I listen to the people that speak to me truth and words that resound through this word or I'm aware of. That's Bible language. I don't want to listen to anyone else. They're doubters. They're dreamers. They're not going anywhere. They're not going to achieve anything because the only way we can is in and through God. Hallelujah. So we can do all things. Can you finish it for me? Let's say it loud together. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Let's say it one more time and louder. And let's say we can. We're family, you know. I can't do this stuff without you. And we can do that right the way around the congregation. But together we can. Yes, we can. Hallelujah. We can
do all things through Christ, which strengthens us.
Amen. Well, you're starting to believe it. Let's see if you've got any more faith by since you said it the last time. We can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Amen. Praise God. I'm going to close. Did you get anything out of that this morning? I've just sensed over these last 3 to 4 weeks that God is motivating us for the exploits He's long expected us to enter into.
Thank you for joining us. We look to God that He will direct your steps in blessings through this week. For more information, visit us at bangercommunitychurch.co.uk or find us on Facebook.